And now, back to brainstorming with Billy.
It turns the brains into guacamole.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Bill Frank. You're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura County. Our theme today is improving yourself. All three of my guests are looking at ways we can improve ourselves, either through personal branding, relaxation, or improved communications. My first guest was a personal branding guru. He told us how to improve our career or our job search by better personal branding. My second guest really prepared us for a safe and fun family holiday travel. And now my next guest is going to help us improve our communication skills. Have you ever walked away from a confrontation only to think of the perfect rejoinder about an hour later? I know I have. We all have done it. My next guest is going to teach us how to be better prepared for those critical confrontations when they arise. If you want to join the conversation, you can always call us at 639-0008. Kathleen Kelly Reardon is a PhD. She's a professor of management at the Marshall School of Business at the University of Southern California. She's the author of many books. Her latest book, however, is titled Come Back at Work, Using Conversation to Master Confrontation. Kathleen is also one of HuffingtonPost.com's signature and top bloggers. She's appeared on such shows as Good Morning America, NBC Nightly News, The Today Show, and Bloomberg. She lives in Rhode Island. Welcome to the show, Kathleen. How are you today?
Thank you.
Well, it's wonderful to have you on the show.
I appreciate that. I'm glad to be here.
Well, now I'm in the business of talking, and yet I've been in situations where I've been stumped, absolutely stymied as to what to say, and I get stuck. You know, now the only thing I can think of is, yeah, your mother too. That's not a real good comeback. So, what is a comeback in your mind? How do you define comeback?
Well, it's when you respond on your feet, usually on your feet, to a difficult situation. It could be an insult, it could be a moment of embarrassment, it could even be a compliment, really, that you didn't expect. And we have these very often each day, and there's an awful lot of people driving home thinking I should have said, or, you know, pulling their hair out, or pondering deeply even into the late evening what it is they could have said in a really awkward situation.
Oh, I know. I've had that. I've had that situation many times before. So in a situation like that, though, it can also become very, very confrontational if it isn't already confrontational. How do you do this with some grace and style so that you walk away, you save face for yourself, and also kind of help to save face for the other person, too?
All right. Well, communication happens very quickly, and we don't put in enough time often before we say something. Well, often we don't even have that kind of time. So you want to give the other person the benefit of the doubt if you can. And part of the book is about that. It's giving them a chance to do the right thing or to do whatever they did do over again. And so it might be just saying something like, I'm wondering if whether what I heard is what you actually said.
Mm.
It gives that person a chance to reflect. And maybe they will change what they said, because there's a big difference between offense and insult. You know, the former being accidental and the latter being on purpose. And when somebody insults you, then you have to handle it differently than what I just mentioned.
All right. That's an interesting differentiation to make. Offense versus insult. Offense is accidental. Insult is on purpose. So help coach me up a little bit, Kathleen, on this. So I find myself in a situation where I'm stumped for something to say. What are some things that I do to prepare myself to be better the next time?
Well, you have to consider that, first of all, that you have to put aside some of your assumptions about other people. They happen very quickly. We formulate impressions of people within seconds. You have to put those aside and get yourself into a kind of inquiry frame of mind. If you want to do the buy yourself time or give the person the opportunity to do the right thing, which means asking them a question, which we don't do all that often in this culture because we like having answers. But you might say to somebody, that comment wasn't at all like you. They're going to probably reflect on that. They might come back and say, well, what you've been doing isn't at all like you either, and it's a pain in the neck. So then you have to be ready for perhaps something a little bit more direct. But you can also buy time after that one, too, and say, okay, go ahead, tell me what you're thinking. A lot of us don't do that because we want to be very quick, and we think that our credibility is on the line much of the time, and so we don't treat communication as the really imperfect thing that it is.
Oh, well said. I like that. And I like some of the rejoiners that you have in the book. We may get into those as time moves on. But one of the most interesting statistics in all of the book is something that you say, that each of us is at least 75% responsible for how people respond to us. Wow. What do you mean by that?
Well, if you look at communication as a lot like a chess game, it's that every time one person makes a move, it does limit the options of the other person. And that happens with us, too. If you pass by somebody, Billy, and you say, hi, how are you, and you keep walking, you've limited that person's options. They just get to say fine or nothing. But if you look them in the eye, you stop and you say, hey, how are you, then you expand their options. Well, we do that all day long. We limit and we expand other people's options, and that's what they do to us, too. So the more predictable we become, the less of a repertoire we have of responses, the more other people are able to manage us. And if you allow that, then you're abdicating your 75% or part of it whenever you're having a conversation.
All right, so talk to me, Kathleen, about expanding my communication options. It's not just stopping and spending a little time or even eye contact. What are some of the other things that I can do to help expand my communications options?
Well, you could start right away with learning how to tweak what people say, too. That's very useful often. If somebody says, you're stubborn, you could respond defensively, or you could say, well, I am persistent when I really care about something. You see, stubborn and persistent really do describe very similar behaviors, if not identical. But if somebody wants to put the term stubborn out there and you don't correct it, then that's the one that it continues to exist. But if you say, well, I am persistent, then you're just tweaking and you're replacing the word they use with one that's much better for you.
All right. We're talking to Kathleen Reardon, everybody. Comebacks at Work is her latest book. But Kathleen, let me just ask you, isn't that just putting a positive spin on a word versus a negative spin? Persistent having the more positive spin versus stubborn having the more negative spin?
It is just that. That's the beauty of it, is that you can alter the course of a conversation just by paying attention to whether somebody is putting a negative spin on something that you think deserves a positive one.
All right. I like that. Something that we do on this show, Kathleen, I call it quick fire, where I give you some real-life situations, and you give me some ideas of how to handle those real-life situations. And, a lot of people out there in the world today, they're unemployed, they might be going out on job interviews, so I'm going to start with job interviewers. Let's say you're in the middle of a job interview, and let's say you're applying for an accounting position, and the interviewer tosses in something that is just completely off the wall in the middle of it. So let's say you're sitting there talking about your accounting position, and all of a sudden the interviewer asks you if you speak German. How do you handle a situation like that?
Well, I actually had one similar to that, where they asked me if I spoke Greek. It was pretty surprising. And he said, well, that is your problem. It's a problem with a lot of people. They don't speak Greek. So I said to him, well, that's true, but I've read Aristotle's Rhetoric and Poetic, and I could go a few rounds with you on that if you like. And I got the job offer. So, it was a bit of a sense of humor. I didn't take the job, and he was kind of strange, but it was useful to have something to say in response.
Well, now, that is a very quick comeback, and I like that. How did just take us through it. How did your mind work through that comment? He said to you, you don't speak Greek, you're applying for a job. Greek probably has nothing to do with the job that you're applying for. How did you get from you don't speak Greek to, oh, yeah, but I've studied Aristotle and Plato?
Well, comebacks do require practice. And the practice makes you more confident, and the confidence makes it quicker. So it's kind of a step-by-step thing. Is you won't have that brain freeze that we write about in the book if you learn how to respond quickly on your feet. And after a while, these things come more naturally to you. Because while he's formulating that sentence, he doesn't even have to say the latter part before you know where he's going, and that gives your brain a chance to rev up to give an answer.
All right.
Get better at this.
Okay, I like that. All right, in the quickfire, let me give you another one. All right, your boss, you're working for a boss, he's a micromanager, and it's distracting you from getting your job done because he's in your face all the time about this. What do you say to your manager who's micromanaging you?
Well, if you say, you're micromanaging me and it's driving me crazy, that's not good. So instead, you might say, we have two different styles. Mine is, I like to be freewheeling, and yours is to look at things step by step to make sure they're done right. I think we've known each other long enough that we might meet in the middle.
All right. I like that. So to the compromise situation, again, keeping it light, definitely not attacking your boss's credibility, because that's probably a no-win.
Style instead of on personality.
Focus on style instead of personality. I like that. All right. Great. Now, here's one that's going to really draw the distinction between something that somebody says that's offensive and something that somebody says that's an insult. Let's say you're in a meeting and you're trying to dream up next year's sales strategy. You know, it's November. A lot of companies are going through that right now. And let's say you propose an idea and your boss is in the room and he replies and says, "That is the stupidest thing I have ever heard, Kathleen." What do you do next?
People do hear this. And, you might say, I thought so too at first. But if you think back in our history, some of the most innovative ideas we've had, we thought were stupid at first too.
Oh, I like that. You are just so smooth. We're talking to Kathleen Reardon, everybody. Her latest book is Comebacks at Work, Using Conversation to Master Confrontation. And Kathleen, you are very smooth at this, and obviously you've done a lot of time researching it. But it begs the bigger question, and that is, are some people just more naturally drawn or better comeback experts than others?
I suppose you could look at somebody like Lance Armstrong and you could compare it and say, well, does he have an inclination, a predilection to be able to be a great cyclist? And yes, I think that there are some advantages if people are doing this at home and they're teaching their children and talking to their children about ways to respond. And my parents did do that kind of thing. How do you handle this kind of situation? What could you say? How do you handle a bully? It does give you an advantage as you're developing, as you're growing up. So we should be doing this much earlier than we do. But nobody's a natural totally. You still need to practice so that you do develop that confidence and so that you are not stuck for something to say, that there's always something, and that's what we provide here, is that there's always something you can say that buys you time, even if you can't think of the best thing right at that second.
Gotcha. All right, I like that. Last of the quick fires, Kathleen. Let's say you're in an office situation, and every office has one. There's the office gossip. And the office gossip comes up to you and says, "Boy, I heard you really screwed up the Johnson account." What do you say to someone in that situation?
Well, of course, you have to know the history to some extent. You could say, "I could see why you might think that, but I don't see an excuse for your saying it." Because sometimes you'll have to be direct with a person, and we didn't do that yet, so I should mention that. If this person does this on a regular basis, then you must be sending out some signals that say, "Go ahead, walk on me." And at a certain point, you need to use a direct comeback that causes them to think, "Oh, I think I better move on. I better not do this anymore."
All right, so somebody might be inadvertently sending out signals that say, "Hey, walk all over me," as part of that 75% of the time we're responsible for the way people respond to us.
Absolutely, absolutely. You probably are sending out signals. You have to ask yourself that. If it is happening on a regular basis or with a certain person over and over, that's called ERPs, unwanted repetitive episodes in the book, then you're, once again, abdicating part of that 75%. And you're letting people do things to you that cause you misery, and that's just giving them too much power.
All righty. Kathleen, that's it for the quick fire. Thanks so much for playing. I love that game. Now I want to back off just a little bit and look at this whole thing of comebacks from maybe 30,000 feet. And I'm going to ask you about a trend that's going on in society right now, and that's our dependence on social technology and social media and that kind of stuff. Our first guest was talking about that today. Is our dependence on social technology hurting or helping the way people communicate and work at work and elsewhere? And are we better able to do comebacks or less agile to handle comebacks as a result of social media?
Well, I actually just 2 days ago wrote something about that on the comebacksatwork.com site. There is some research that shows that there are some negative effects, and certainly when you see people texting during a date, you know, or they're out with other people and they're texting three quarters of the time, everything is shot off very quickly without review. We don't have the benefit of nonverbal cues when we're using technology. And so there's bound to be a downside. And so when you go for a job interview, and that's very important right now with so many people struggling, you know, to keep jobs and to mm-hmm. get jobs, mm-hmm. you lose a benefit. So, you know, we even negotiated with our children to have, to shut off the texting for certain periods of the day, and they actually started to talk to people again. And that's very important. You cannot develop your communication if it's a matter of a three word sentence to somebody. I mean, people are even breaking up over text now. I mean, that can hardly be a good thing.
Well, there's that television commercial that shows the couple breaking up over text and email. That's very funny. We're talking to Kathleen Reardon, everybody, author of the book Comebacks at Work. Kathleen, you mentioned a website there. What was the name of that website? People may not have heard it clearly.
It's www.comebacksatwork.com.
Comebacksatwork.com. And that's where you have your blog and a lot of other information that's up there. Great. Now, Kathleen, I asked this of many authors that come on the show. What did you get out of writing the book?
Oh, I wanted to write this book for a while because I'd be coaching people or consulting or my students. People would come up to me and they'd be very good at their jobs, but they wouldn't be able to respond at a meeting when somebody says, for example, look who's on time for a change, and in front of the boss and everyone. And so this book is something that I really wanted to write, but it also gave the opportunity to talk to people and interview people and hear the most difficult experiences that they've had. And I always find that enlightening, and also you never stop learning communication. So Chris and I, who wrote the book with me, I think we improved ourselves by being around people who told us their best stories.
Well, I can say that I learned a lot from reading your book. We've been talking to Kathleen Reardon, everybody. Her book is Comebacks at Work, Using Conversations to Master Confrontation. And Kathleen, where again would you direct people to go if they wanted to learn more about you or more about your book?
You could go to comebacksatwork.com. You could. I have another site called Bard's Cove. And I just started Twittering called the Comebacks Kid.
And we're going to have to leave it there, Kathleen. Thanks so much for being our guest. We'll talk to you later.